I wonder if Steve Allen would Duray love heart with his putter on the green if he wins the US Open coming up at Torrey Pines in San Diego. It's a very, very cool story. He's been off the international radar for a little while. I want to find out what's going on. Stevie Allen, well done. Congratulations. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Mate, we are terrific, and we are very excited about this story with you. A 2002 Australian Open winner many, many moons ago, the German Open in 1998. Hasn't been a lot of successful golf since then, Stevie, it must be said, just going by your resume. But this is an outstanding achievement. What made you get back into the swing and try and qualify for the US Open?
I've never really stopped, actually. I lost my card on the PGA Tour in 2009. You know, I didn't have many great years, but I had some good tournaments here and there. The end of 07, 08 was, sorry, the end of 08 was pretty good, but 09 was a disaster, and I had no status over here at all, so I played a little bit in Asia, played the Australian Tour, got back on the what's now called the Korn Ferry Tour, the secondary tour.
Yep.
And I've kind of been on and off that for the last, you know, basically the last decade, and the last 2 years more off than on. So I've still been playing, still been doing a lot of qualifiers. I've gotten a few tournaments here or there, but like you said, without much success. So I've never really given up, but I'm at that age. I'm only a couple of years away from the Champions Tour. A fellow Aussie here in Arizona gave me the chance to do a bit of teaching at Arizona Country Club this year with the flexibility to keep playing. So I've been doing a bit of teaching, and I've still been playing. I was only a shot away this year from getting into the Phoenix Open and the Wells Fargo, so the game's been pretty good, but, you know, not good enough.
So, Steve, take us through what that has been like for you. I mean, without getting too deep into the private life, that the whole thing of trying to make ends meet when you're battling to get onto the Korn Ferry Tour, how do you make a living? Because it's not a cheap exercise being a professional golfer.
No, it isn't. I think I've been lucky that, you know, being on the big tour left me with a little bit of money in the bank. And I'd say that a lot of my year, I've only had, since I lost my card, I'd say I've only had a couple of years where I've made a decent profit, quite a few years where I've come out even, and then 3 or 4 years where I've lost a bit of money. So they kind of hurt. The last couple of years, lost quite a bit of money, which also influenced me getting a little bit of a side gig, doing a bit of teaching. So it's, like I said, I was lucky that I was somewhat successful before. If I'd been someone who'd never really got on the big tour, I definitely would have had to get a real job.
Yeah. So what keeps you going, Steve? Because, you know, you're on the USPGA Tour for a number of years. We talked about just earlier this morning in our program winning the Australian Open, and you were a really, really good golfer, and you still are, obviously. But what keeps the fire burning to keep going?
I just think I don't know. It partially feels like I didn't quite achieve what I could have achieved. Partially, I still play pretty well. You know, there's a difference between playing well and putting it all together in four rounds, obviously, in a tournament. But, I don't know. I've always felt like I could still do it. So I've never quite been able to kick it and give it up, I suppose.
Hey, Steve, I'm just interested when you say break even. Like, everyday people obviously got to pay the bills and work and the like to live. Without, divulging too much, what's that break even point to you that you say, yeah, I was breaking even, I was losing a little bit of money? Are you willing to share what that number is?
It depends on which tour you're on. You know, I dropped back and played on One Asia for a couple of years, and I definitely made a bit of a profit there. I had a couple of weeks that were decent without being, you know, I certainly wasn't going out buying new cars or anything, but I had a couple of weeks where I sort of made some money. When you play the Korn Ferry Tour, I reckon you need to probably come up with something between 1,800 to 3,000 a week, depending on which event you're playing. I had 1 year on the Korn Ferry where I was literally a couple of shots away from getting my card back on the PGA Tour. So I probably would have put a little bit of money into the bank that year. And like you said, covering your outside expenses. I mean, you know, you've still got a mortgage and kids and everything. And I've been lucky that, you know, I have a couple of rental properties over here, basically my old houses I used to live in. I kept them when I moved and rented them out, so that provides a little bit. Just a little bit here and there, really. And then, you know, sort of, you know, last last time I came down to Australia, I played well without dominating. It was a good sign that I was starting. My game was showing some good fun. And like the Australian Open, I think I was 20th. New Zealand Open, I was around about 14th, and that's enough again to pay the bills for a while. So it's just a bit of everything, I suppose.
So what's motivating you at the moment? Is it still the thrill of the competition and the adrenaline rush you get competing? Is it the carrot of the Champions Tour, or is it allowing your kids to see their dad play golf?
I think all three, actually. I think this one, getting into the US Open, is really cool, considering I haven't played in a major that any of my kids have seen. I mean, my two oldest were there at Pebble Beach when I played, but they were, you know, I think they were 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. I did Monday into a couple of tour events in 19, and all my boys got to see me at one of those at the John Deere. But this will be pretty cool for everyone to come out. And, you know, I'm going to have my oldest son caddy for me, my middle son caddy for me in the qualifier. But he got to pull the trolley or the buggy around. He's not quite big enough to carry the bag in a tournament, so my older son's going to do it this week.
And how old are the kids? Do they play themselves?
Yep, 14, 13, and 10. And they all play a bit of golf. They don't do much competition. They've been more into the baseball and recently, which is pretty time-consuming. So, like, their baseball teams play. When I was a kid with Aussie Rules, it used to be called a Lightning Premiership. They basically play that every weekend.
Yep.
So it's pretty time-consuming, but good fun.
Yeah, great. And from the US Open perspective, as I mentioned before, it's in San Diego at Torrey Pines. I mean, do you go and do a bit of reconnaissance? Do you do a couple of practice rounds a couple of weeks early to try and get ready for it? Or do you just go there and do your best and see what happens?
Well, I'll head over on Sunday. So the tournament's next week, and I'll definitely play on, I'll play Monday, Tuesday for sure, and probably play 9 holes on Wednesday, depending on how, kind of weigh up how the game feels and how comfortable I feel on the course. I've played Torrey a lot of times on the tour, but it's been 10 years. So I know there's been some changes. I don't think they're too dramatic, but I know it's going to be hard. You're going to have to hit the ball, you know, straight and ideally long. But it'll be fun. It's a great venue, and you know, Arizona is ridiculously hot at this time of year, so the whole family's also happy to get over to the beach and have some good weather.
That makes sense to me. Was there any inspiration drawn from what Phil was able to do in the PGA? At 50?
Yeah, I think so. I think a little bit. I think there's times that, people kind of think, I don't know, so no one really writes you off. You know, I haven't done anything to not deserve to be written off. But the old guys can still play, you know. And I think when the game comes together, there's a lot of experience. And someone like Phil, you know, he's so good. Plus, he's got the experience of doing it so often that, to write him or... You know, Tiger, I'm not sure of how bad Tiger's injuries are, whether he's going to come back. If he gets to come back and he gets in the hunt again, you can't write him off, you know. And, it was good to see.
So from the peak of your powers, Steve, to now, how has your game changed?
I think I struggle with consistency, I think. I think in when I played my best, when I got a good feel or I got a good ball striking going, it would last for a few weeks. And more recent years, it seems to last for 9 holes or, one round. I think I've managed my game a lot better than I did when I was younger. I definitely have lost a few yards. I mean, I was never a ridiculously long hitter, and I was never in the Tiger, Bubba, Watson, Phil kind of range, but I was definitely longer than average on the tour. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I'll be shorter than average now with how far a lot of these kids are hitting it. But I think just consistent ball striking when I was playing my best, and now I think I think my game management is just a lot better. Which, if you can put some good ball striking with good game management, you're in good shape. But you know, it doesn't always work out like that.
And just tell us the story of how you qualified. Was it were you always going to do it? Or was it to get down to the last hole, the last couple of holes? How nervous did you get? Take us through that whole experience.
So it's a 36-hole qualifier, and the venue that I was at, there was only two spots, and there was about, I think it was 45 guys. So you knew you had to play pretty well. It's 36 holes in one day. The morning round was really, it was quite cool and windy, and the greens were pretty quick, so it was quite tough. I played pretty well, but a little bit scrappy, and I hung in there and had a good finish to my round to get back to even par, which was a reasonable round in the conditions. I was the last group, so I saw the scores from the morning, and it was the best scores. I think two guys were at 3 under, a couple of guys at 2 under, so I was still in touch, even though I wasn't in great shape. I got off to a good start in the afternoon. I basically birdied all the par fives. It was a drivable par four that I got next to the green, got up and down. So I was 4 under through 10, and at that point, you don't know that you're in with a chance, but you kind of get the feeling that, you know, I wasn't sure if I needed a couple more birdies or if sort of around 4 under would be enough. I could kind of tell as the back nine was going on that there was more people watching me, so I kind of figured I must have been close. I sort of played well without making any birdies. I held a huge putt on 16 to get me to 5 under, and I could tell definitely by the reaction with, you know, I don't know, we might have had 20, 30 people at that point. I could tell by the reaction that I must have been really close. 17 was a pretty hard par 3. Unfortunately, I didn't have a very good shot, and I made a bogey. And at that point, I found out that I needed to par the last to make a playoff. So someone was in at 6 under, and I was 4 under, and another guy was in at 4 under. And the last was, it was playing pretty tough because the wind had changed. It was kind of into the wind. I hit a poor drive, left into the rough. I had 200 yards to the pin with a pretty average lie, and I wasn't sure how the ball was going to come out of the rough, and I just had to really get down and dig it out, and it came out actually too well. It went over the green. I had a tricky chip down the hill, which kind of, I hit a pretty good chip, but it didn't get a great bounce, and it ran about 15 foot past, and had a 15 footer that I knew I had to make. And, you know, at some point, like, it's kind of, I was nervous, definitely. It was when you play that well and you get that close to having a chance, you really don't want to miss it. And I was lucky enough that I got a good read on the putt. Like, my chip went right past the hole, and it was a bit of a double breaker, but I saw which way it was going near the hole, and then as it sort of slowed down, and I got a good read, and I hit a good putt, and it went right in the middle. And, yeah, there was a little bit of a crowd of the locals and the members there, and they gave me a big cheer, and I was in a playoff. And I went back to the ninth hole, which was a drivable par four, and there was a young guy, a college player, actually. He was a nice kid. It was just he and I for the last spot, and I hit not a bad drive, but it was a little bit left, but it was on the corner of the green. He was the same on the right. He had a good chip. My chip wasn't that good. I was left about 15 feet short, and I held it again, and then he missed it, so I was in.
Fantastic.
So it was good.
Yep. Well, we like those putts to go in, Stevie. We'd like to see more of them at Torrey Pines next week, if you don't mind, for the US Open. Good luck to you, mate. It's a great story, and it's nice to be able to touch base with you after a long time, and wish you the best of luck for one of the big events on the calendar. Go get them.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.